crossover dribble. Cunningham picks it up, back to Schoen. Chase back over to Kylan. Another open three from the right side this time, and it banks in for Cunningham. The sixth three-pointer of the half for Kylan. He's matched his career high with 20 in the first half. It's 38-15 in favor of the Knights.
Lakeside boys get the win last night. Dusty had all the action, and we turn it over to Dusty on his games last night.
Yes, the boys, as you said, pick up a win. 61-31 was the final. Cunningham had 20 points in the first half. Didn't score in the second half, but his 20 points really helped spread that lead out by halftime all the way to 26 at 41-15. So they'd really done their damage. Just outscored Lincoln 20-16 in the second half. So, Lakeside gets the win. They're now 5-4 overall, 5-3 in the Northern Plains League. Again, Cunningham with 20 points, 6 of 8 from three-point land, 13 points for Wyatt Everly in that win for the Knights. Cunningham was our athlete of the game. Jay Schoen got the block of the game from H&R Block and Blewett. And Kylan Cunningham to Wyatt Everly was the connection of the game from Cunningham Telephone and Cable. Lincoln was led by Landon O'Hare with 14 points in that one. And then on the girls' side, Lakeside winning it by a final of 58-26. They used a big second quarter, 18-2. They outscored Lincoln in the second quarter and ended up winning it by 32 points. Ended a seven-game losing streak. A very important win for the Lakeside Lady Knights to get a little confidence back there. Kylie Geisler had 19 points to lead the Lady Knights. They're now 2-7 overall and 2-7 in the league. Geisler was our athlete of the game. Block of the game went to Lauren Brummett. Connection of the game, Morgan Eberle to Bailey Cunningham. So those are kind of the numbers and a look at what happened last night with the Lakeside games. And Dawson O'Bannon was a leading scorer for Lincoln in the girls contest, just 7 points. Lincoln dropped to 5-6 and 4-5 in the Northern Plains League with that loss. So let's look at what happened in Downs last night as far as that game was concerned. You want me to go through other scores before you go through your games? Okay. Yeah, sure. Other scores from last night included St. John's Tipton girls winning 63-23 over Pike Valley. Rock Hills girls beat Wilson 48-23, and the Hill City girls over Thunder Ridge 40-32. On the boys' side, it was St. John's Tipton 47, Pike Valley 41. Daniel Eilert, the freshman, scored a career-high 18 there for St. John's Tipton in that win. Rock Hills boys winning over Wilson 47-27. Mason Higer with 20 points, including four threes. Davion McDonald had 14. Hill City wins over Thunder Ridge on the boys' side 64-37. Southeast of Saline over Inman 60-55. And boys' action in Minneapolis beat Ellsworth 64-48. And Wade had Bullitt and Sacred Heart games last night as well.
Yeah, Sacred Heart girls and boys both win. The girls snap a 13-game losing streak to Beloit. Last time that they beat Beloit in girls basketball, I got to go back to when I was young, 2014. Actually, I was old then, too. 7 years ago, and Sacred Heart in a 9-3 fourth quarter. Beloit was right there, down three going into the fourth, but just 3 points in the fourth quarter, a field goal and a free throw, and that's, you know, been the problem. Coach Remus has talked about it, you know, scoring points. And last night, Beloit's defense was good. Their defense, for the most part, this year has been pretty good. Just trying to, you know, put together spurts of points has been difficult, and so Beloit lost last night 36-27 right there going into the fourth quarter. Peyton Remus led the way with 10 points in the ball game. Beloit girls now 2-10, and they will play at Minneapolis tonight. More on that coming up in a little bit. In the boys game, it was all Sacred Heart up 9-0 in the first couple of minutes, and they were up 11-6, then went on a 16-0 run, led 27-6, led by 16 at halftime, and then pulled away in the third quarter, dominant third quarter for the Knights, ranked 7th in 2A, 24-3 third quarter. Beloit one field goal in the third quarter. That was a three by Wyatt Brockman, who finished the game with a team-high 12 points and four threes. Beloit made 9 threes. They had 11 field goals, 9 threes, 2 twos, and attempted 2 free throws and made 1. So that was their points, 9 threes, 2 twos, and a free throw. 32 for Beloit last night as they fall to 4-11. Sacred Heart, they're really good. Moved the ball well against really any defense that they face, whether it's 2-3 man. They're just really good at moving the ball, and they hit the open shot, and they're very unselfish. They make the extra pass, and they made 10 threes last night and at times made it look really easy. Gormley had 21 for Sacred Heart in the for the boys, and Sacred Heart's won 9 in a row now, and Mason Richards had 20, and both Gormley and Richards each hit 4 three-pointers. So Beloit falls last night in the boys' game 67-32. All right, we'll come back to basketball, but sub-state wrestling is a huge thing. Tomorrow, sub-state wrestling, this is to qualify for state, and it's different this year with the different levels of competition and postseason. And so it's going to be very interesting tomorrow. Minneapolis at noon is when the tournament begins. And then 12:30 will be our first report, and we'll have reports throughout the day, every half hour, as much as we can. We do have basketball tomorrow as well on the radio, so Dusty and I will work on reports before the game, and then he'll give you some updates during the game with Osborne at Silver Lucas tomorrow, and then probably I'll give you reports afterwards, or every way we want to work it, as long as the tournament goes on. And Dusty, this is a little bit tougher to make state, I mean, because you only have a one-day tournament at state next weekend, and so really sub-state, in a way, it is an extension of a state tournament.
It is, and I think a lot of the coaches and both the coach, well, at least one of the coaches I talked to said they are going to actually recognize the kids that made it this far as state qualifiers, because normally that this would be a state qualification if you made it to the top 16, the top 8 on your half, so... I know that one coach is going to do that, and the other coach is pretty confident that this is state. So,
but Keisha's going to do that,
or just Keisha's not. The coaches are going to do it within their programs. Okay. Right. They're going to go ahead and recognize these kids as state qualifiers, and I was, you know, I completely agree with that, and I think it's rightfully so that they do that, because normally if you're again the top 8 on your half of the state, you are a state qualifier. So now you're in the top 8 now, but again you do have to finish in the top 4 in your respective weight classes. So yeah, it's a big tournament, different tournament. There's 34 different schools that have athletes that are competing in this tournament. There's 24 or 18, excuse me, from our area that are competing in this tournament. So obviously, like you said, it's going to be tough to get out of it. But we do have, again, 18 area wrestlers that are competing from Beloit. Last week, Brenna Walker was a regional champion at 182 pounds. And also for Beloit, Aiden Loomis at 113, Mason Fuller at 126, Tristan Thompson, 132 pounds, Tate Kittle at 160. Hunter Prask at 170, Braden Burks at 195, and Cameron Conkle at 220 competing. And then the Beloit coaches will be coaching two Rock Hills wrestlers that are competing as well. Code Nielsen, 106 pounds, and Connor Kozand at 120. And then Smith Center has 7 wrestlers that will be competing at the 321A Substate in Minneapolis tomorrow. They include Bentley Montgomery at 126 pounds, Jackson Pinckney at 132, Alex Wilson 138, Nathan Rabby at 160, Jake Kirchhoff at 182, Eli Franklin at 195, and Colton Harrisnape at 285 pounds. And the defending state champion at 285 pounds, Trey Barrientes of Sylvan Lucas, is competing as well. He comes into the tournament with a record of 24-0. He was a district and regional champion already, and ranked number 2 in 321A heading into sub-state this weekend. So those are the 18 wrestlers from the area that are still alive. And again, they'll go up against some very good teams in this sub-state. 6 of the teams that are ranked this week in the 321A rankings are on this western half sub-state in Minneapolis. Hoxie's the number 1 team in the state and has 9 wrestlers that are ranked that are going to be competing this weekend. So, again, it is a very tough tournament that all these athletes are competing in. Coming up tomorrow, it starts at noon there in Minneapolis.
All right, let's hear from the wrestling coaches. Andy Nemchek of Beloit. We talked about how tough this will be at sub-state. Andy Nemchek agrees.
Well, the brackets are going to be extremely tough. Our sub-state is basically the whole western half of Kansas. Mm-hmm. Each bracket, and of course we're in an 8-man bracket, so every match is going to be extremely tough, and getting through the brackets is going to be extremely tough. And essentially, this is the first rounds of the state tournament, because in a normal year, we would be down to 16 after the region going to the state tournament. So everything's going to be tough, and our kids know that, and we are preparing for it, and our kids, they understand the level that they're at and what they've got to do when they step on the mat on Saturday.
Brock Hutchison, head coach, Smith Center wrestling team. This sub-stage is flat out loaded.
And you just go down and look at the list of people that are in this sub-state, it's kind of ridiculous. I think this would be like putting every single really, really good team in the West and even Northwest together again, which they've done before, and it's really, really tough. So I don't know. We're just going to have to go. We're going to have to compete and see what happens, I guess.
All right. That's all you can do. You show up, you know when you're going to wrestle, and you do the best you can. That's all you can do.
Absolutely. You just, again, like both coaches said, they knew what was coming. They were prepared for it all the way back in January once they found out what, or December actually, once they found out what they were doing with the postseason. So now you go out and see where the cards fall and see if maybe you can be one of those 4 in each weight class that makes it to the state tournament next weekend in Hayes.
We do have links at ncksports.com for sub-state wrestling info and results if you want to follow along, or you can listen to our reports beginning at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon Saturday, as all of our wrestlers are at Minneapolis. All right, we shift back to basketball. We have high school basketball for you tonight on this Friday evening on both our radio stations on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. It is St. John's Tipton on the road at Sylvan Lucas, and Craig Batchman, head coach of the Sylvan Lucas girls. St. John's Tipton, a tough matchup.
They're going to be a tough team. We're going to really have to show up and play, but no, they got several girls that can play for their team that are contributing offensively, defensively. So it's definitely going to be a tough matchup for us, but we just got to show up and we got to be ready to get after it.
And on the other sideline, Leah Bergman, the head coach of the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays. Well, they are going into this one with some expectations.
I expect to be a little bit more of a tougher game, fast pace. I think we'll get back to the type of basketball that we enjoy playing, which is fast, aggressive defense. So that'll be another good one for us. We're going into a couple weeks where we're going to have back-to-back-to-back-to-back games. So, you know, any chance we can get to get out and play will be good.
All right, Dusty, that's the girls' game tonight that you'll have on KD Country 94, St. John's Tipton, Sylvan Lucas. Synopsis of that one.
Yeah, the Lady Jays are playing some really good basketball right now. And Sylvan Lucas, they're good as well. They're 11-3 on the season. St. John's Tipton is 11-1. I think the schedule has been conducive for Sylvan Lucas to have a good season. But, you know, they've gone out and played very well and won some tight games when they needed to also. So I think St. John's Tipton probably has the advantage in this game tonight. But it'll be a challenge. Both teams are going to play pretty aggressive defense, which could lead to a lower scoring game here tonight. But looking forward to this one in Sylvan Grove this evening.
And on the boys' side, Jeff Starkey, head coach of Sylvan Lucas. Blue Jays are always a difficult matchup.
They're a group that, you know, they lost so many seniors a year ago that you know, they've done a good job of getting some kids that didn't have a lot of experience out on the floor and have made plays this year for them, and guys that have kind of sat back and watched last year's senior class have success, and they know how to win, and, you know, that's one of the things that makes them tough to play against.
And Lance Bergman, head coach, St. John's Tipton Blue Jay boys. Sylvan Lucas can cause problems.
They've got a kid in the heel kid that I think is one of the best players in the league. He left-handed kid, really liked him. He pressed me last year. And then they do focus on defense. They limit the possessions. And they're going to work their offense until they get the shot they want. Very seldom are you going to force them to take a shot they don't want. And then they're going to get after you on defense and make you earn everything you want.
All right, thoughts on the boys' matchup tonight?
Yeah, boys' game be very similar. I think it should be a very close game, a tight game. St. John's Tipton starting to feel a little bit more confident about themselves. Had a setback against Thunder Ridge earlier this month, and I think it kind of refocused their team. And Sylvan Lucas had a three-game losing streak, which included in that was a loss to Thunder Ridge at home earlier in the month. And late last month, and now they've started to get back on the winning track as well. This game, it's hard to handicap, really. I haven't seen Sylvan Lucas play yet this year, but obviously, as Coach Bergman said, Jonah Hill's a very key factor for them, and if he gets off and has a good game, it could be tough for St. John's Tipton tonight. But again, two teams that are going to focus defense first and see what happens and see where the cards fall after that.
All right, that's on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Get that free KD Country 94 app to download on your smartphones and mobile devices so you can listen to us wherever you may be. And then tomorrow we'll have Sylvan Lucas again hosting Osborne tomorrow at 2:30 pregame, roughly around there. And then the girls' varsity followed by the boys' varsity. So Dusty will make two trips to Sylvan.
Yes.
Today he'll do it with his eyes open. Tomorrow he will have them shut.
We'll see
what
happens.
Look out and get off the road. Tonight it'll be dark coming back. It might be dark coming back tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe. Depends. So anyway, Osborne at St. John, or Osborne at Sylvan Lucas tomorrow. Tonight on Z96.3 Lake, we'll have more Beloit Trojan basketball. Beloit will be at Minneapolis. The girls game, a rematch of a game played earlier this year. Minneapolis won 37-28. It was right there in the fourth quarter. Could have been anybody's game the first time. So it should be another good matchup tonight. And Shauna Remus, her team, her thoughts on the keys to victory against Minneapolis on the road this evening.
We got to control the tempo of the game, and we don't mind it to be low scoring, but we definitely need to find ways to capitalize when we have opportunities and just continue to keep their scores, you know, in check. Our game plan doesn't really change much from game to game. We just need to execute on offense and limit our turnovers and obviously out-rebound teams. And, you know, I think we'll see more success if we're able to do those three things.
Minneapolis has been playing better basketball as of late. They've certainly improved from the first time that they played. Beloit, I think that was only their third game of the year when they played many of the first time. So both teams are improved. And it'll probably be a low-scoring game again, which that's probably what Beloit needs to have the opportunity tonight to get a win on the road against Minneapolis. That's the girls' game, about 6 o'clock, pregame at 5:50 on Z96.3 Lake. Then the boys' game, it'll be Beloit at Minneapolis. Minneapolis won the first meeting 74-40. They're very talented, especially offensively. They can score in bunches. And Ryan Eilert, head coach of the Beloit Trojan Boys, on the quick turnaround from last night's game against Sacred Heart to tonight at Minne.
It's not going to be an easy task. And like I said earlier, we're not changing our physique overnight or quickness, this or that. And you know, our what's ahead of us tomorrow is just another tough team that's going to, you know, show up and look to do to us what happened tonight. But for me, I want to see the improvements in the things that we can control.
Beloit girls have two games coming up next week. Monday at Ellsworth, Tuesday they host Smith Center. Beloit boys only have one game after tonight left on the regular season schedule, hosting Smith Center coming up on Tuesday. And normally you'd say senior night, which it will be senior night on Tuesday, I'm sure it will be, since that'll be the last home games of the year for both the girls and the boys for Beloit, because they'll be on the road first round of sub-state. But there are no seniors on the boys' basketball team, so there'll be no seniors recognized on the basketball team for the boys. There are two on the girls' side. Of course, they recognize other seniors as well, but that'll be coming up on Tuesday. And then sub-state brackets will come out next Wednesday. Once again, you can download the Z96.3 Lake app on your smartphones and mobile devices if you want to listen wherever you may be. Full information posted at ncksports.com via Blake Trojan channel. Well, I don't know what I'm saying. ncksports.com is the website to go to in regards to standings and athletes of the week and broadcast schedule and much more. All right. Wichita State with a big win last night. There's other games tonight. Let's get to that. I didn't mean leave that out.
No, yeah, other games going on tonight. Natoma at Lakeside, Osborne at Chase, Rock Hills at Thunder Ridge, Wilson at Pike Valley, Tescott at Southern Cloud, and then non-league for Lincoln tonight hosting Ellsworth, Mid-Continent League Trigos at Smith Center, and in the NCKL, Wamego at Concordia. Those are the games in the immediate area, and as Wade said, the full schedule and all the news you need is at ncksports.com.
All right.
So Houston needs two scores, and they need the first one very quickly. Giroux, his three swirls out. Loose ball. Etienne's got it, and the Shockers have the win. Wichita State has won 68-63, and the Shockers are in first place in the American.
How about that? Wichita State 13-4 overall, 9-2 in the AAC, and they technically are in first place due to winning percentage. With the win over Houston last night, Tyson Etienne with 16 points, and Alterique Gilbert, yep, with 16 points, hit three threes. Houston, one of the best defensive teams in the country, but Wichita State shot 10 of 22 from beyond the three-point line, according to various bracketology experts, whatever they mean. Shockers, one of the last four out going into that game last night, so a very impressive win. That probably gets them off the bubble for now. And, Coach Brown, Isaac Brown's done a wonderful job, the interim head coach, taking over Greg Marshall, who was let go shortly before the season began, and he talks about the big win for his Shockers over number 6 Houston.
I'm just so proud of these guys. You know, when I first got this job, we told these kids that just trust us, that we're going to give them 110% every day, and all those guys trust the process and just been doing tremendous. Houston, good basketball team. We told them before the game started, this is going to be a hit game. When the ball is up in the air, you got to find someone to touch. So I thought we did a great job on the glass. We out-rebounded them. We were down 12, and the guys just kept battling. In the second half, I felt like we started to execute a little bit. And at the end of the game, those guys stepped up, got some stops, made some free throws, and we were able to pull it out.
So the Shockers were supposed to play Sunday against East Carolina, postponed. Shockers have had a really tough schedule to deal with, lots of postponements with their opposition, especially SMU, who they're supposed to play next Thursday. So that's the Shockers' next game, a week in between games, last night Thursday and then next Thursday. It is a odd schedule, and it is weird, and it is what it is here this year. And, you know, I saw somebody say on social media, can we quit saying unprecedented? Yeah, I'd like to quit saying COVID. I like to quit saying quarantines. I like to quit saying postpone, cancel. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I never want to say the word quarantine again after this.
No, don't either. All right. Number 15, Texas Tech, is at number 23, Kansas, coming up tomorrow afternoon. 12:30 pregame on Z96.3 Lake. Tip off at 1 o'clock. Texas Tech 14-6, 6-5, and KU 16-7, 10-5. KU, believe it or not, they're second in the standings in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
They won four in a row. Oklahoma State, Iowa State twice, and K-State once. But this is a tough stretch coming down here for Kansas. They are five games behind Baylor in the loss column, by the way. So it's not like they're challenging for the Big 12 title. But yet, second place in this conference would be good, considering how tough it is. Bill Self likes how things are trending in the right direction right now.
I think we're getting better. I think our best ball is still ahead of us. You know, I told our guys that you never want to look at your schedule and say, if we can just get through these four games with wins, and we'll set ourselves up pretty well. But we're 10-5 in the league, and we have a chance. Now, granted, we got probably as tough a schedule as anybody, but if all the games were to be played, we put ourselves in a position to have a chance to play for second. So that would be a great accomplishment with this group.
KU hosting Texas Tech tomorrow at 12:30 pregame on Z96.3 The Lake. K-State trying to snap a 13-game losing streak. They're 5-18 overall, 1-13 in the Big 12. They'll be at TCU tomorrow at 4 o'clock. TCU 11-8, 4-6. They've been dealing with quarantines and COVID and everything else messing up their schedule as well. Bruce Weber on the rematch with the Frogs.
Obviously, they beat us the first time in a close game. You know, we thought we might catch them a little weary with three games. Now we're going to catch them rested. Nimhart's really good. Miles has really played well. And then, obviously, you got the big fella inside. It'll be a tough game.
Every game's tough for Kansas State the way things are going this year. K-State at TCU at 4 o'clock tomorrow. But there is an opportunity for K-State to win one there. But they're going to obviously have to shoot the ball better than they did against KU. Other Big 12 games, pretty big matchup. Number 15, West Virginia at number 13, Texas at 2 o'clock tomorrow on ABC. And number 9, Oklahoma's at Iowa State on ESPN2 at 5 o'clock. Big news in the National Football League. The Carson Wentz era in Philadelphia has come to a close. Yesterday, the Eagles brought the latest quarterback blockbuster to the headlines by agreeing to trade their former number 2 overall pick to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for a 2021 third rounder and a conditional second rounder in 2022, which could easily become a first round pick. This deal has been a long time coming after Wentz fell out of favor with the Eagles and lost his starting job to rookie Jalen Hurts. The demotion triggered Wentz to let it be known that he liked to play elsewhere, which Philly granted. Meanwhile, the Colts secure a quarterback after Philip Rivers announced his retirement. And he now, Wentz, will play with Frank Reich, who's the head coach of the Colts, who is a former offensive coordinator for the Eagles. And Wentz performed well. You know, it's pretty amazing. Just a few years ago, Carson Wentz was the MVP of this league until he blew out his knee running for a touchdown against the 49ers. He was going to be the MVP. He was lights out. And you thought he's a guy that's going to be the quarterback for the Eagles for 10 or 15 years. And now a few years later, and she goes to show you what a really bad injury can do. And that's what you got to wonder about Joe Burrow with Cincinnati and other guys that go through these injuries. You hope if you're a Chiefs fan that doesn't happen to Patrick Mahomes or doesn't happen to Deshaun Watson, guys like that. But, RG3 was never the same after he had. Remember, he took the league by storm, and then he got hurt and never was the same. And Carson Wentz doesn't look even close to the quarterback he was when he would have been the MVP had he not got hurt late in the season that year. So I think it's a really good deal for the Colts because I think Carson Wentz I don't think he had a lot of weapons around him offensively in Philadelphia. I think Wentz, he didn't win the Super Bowl. He's part of that team, but Nick Foles is the one that led him to the Super Bowl, the Patriots. I think Carson Wentz is a stand-up guy, and a lot of teammates are happy for him, and I think that says a lot about Carson Wentz. There, a lot of guys didn't want to see him benched. They respect him, and he was a leader. He just didn't play well enough. And so there are people, there's no ill will at all. The players actually are happy that Carson's going somewhere, have an opportunity to be the starting quarterback in Indianapolis. So a fresh start, a new place might be just what the doctor ordered for Carson Wentz. And the Colts get a young quarterback, and they didn't have to give up a ton for him. And if he plays anything like he did a few years ago, then the Colts got a steal.
Yeah, and they don't have to pay all that contract. Right. But, it works for the Colts, I feel like, and it's a good chance for, like you say, for Wentz to maybe resurrect something and maybe get back onto the right track there. And, you know, the Colts are in a pretty good position elsewhere, just kind of needed a quarterback to lead them, and I think it works out for pretty much everybody involved.
Colts did make the playoffs last year and had every opportunity to beat the Bills, but couldn't quite get it done, and they go much younger from Philip Rivers to Carson Wentz, and technically, they don't have to give up a first-round pick, although it might be one, but it'd probably be a late first-rounder. So I think it's for the Eagles, they got the best trade they could make, I think. They weren't going to get anything like Matthew Stafford, what the haul was there. and he's now Indianapolis Colt, and the Eagles are going to go with Jalen Hurts, or they're going to draft a quarterback. I don't know if the Eagles are really truly going to go into next season with Jalen Hurts as their starting quarterback, but we shall see. NBA news, the Nets beat the defending champion Lakers 109-98. Before we get excited about that, if you're a Nets fan, Anthony Davis didn't play. Dennis Schroeder, point guard for the Lakers, was out. Kevin Durant did not play for the Nets. Multiple Lakers suffered minor injuries during the game, but the Nets did win. They've won four in a row. They are now 19-12, climbing up the ladder in the East, and James Harden had 23 points, 11 assists. But it was Brooklyn's supporting cast as they made 18 three-pointers. Lakers made 8 threes, and so the Lakers are banged up. Anthony Davis will miss an estimated 4 weeks due to a calf strain suffered in Sunday's game in their loss to the Nuggets. So the Lakers will be shorthanded for a while, which means you ride the shoulders of a 36-year-old man, and he is a man. LeBron James having an MVP-type season, and you hope that he doesn't have to take on too much to where, you know, maybe he gets hurt too. Nets and Lakers, the only thing that'll stop the Lakers, I think, is injuries. And right now, I think very well could end up not being the number one seed because of the injuries, and that's not a big deal. Lakers, doesn't matter. Home court's no big deal this year in the NBA unless the fans are suddenly allowed to come for the playoffs. So home court's not that big a deal. The great teams and the great players don't care if they're seeded 1, 2, 3, or 4, or even 5 or 6. They'll go out and they'll play. They know they can steal one in a best of seven series. So Nets, Lakers, good win for the Nets. Probably a bigger game for the Nets last night than it was for the Lakers. Speaking of NBA, the All-Star game, they're going to have one. A lot of players didn't want to, but the NBA, obviously it's a money thing. They're going to have the All-Star game in Atlanta. It's just going to be a one-night situation, though. So they're going to have the skills competition beforehand. The dunk contest, I believe, is at halftime. And so all this is going to happen on one night in Atlanta. The starters have been announced for the NBA All-Star game, and the rest of the roster will be finalized here soon. And no big surprise in the West. Steph Curry is having an unbelievable season so far. Luka Doncic, LeBron James, who's the captain, Kawhi Leonard, and Nikola Jokic of the Nuggets. That's your starting five in the West. That's pretty formidable. In the East, it's Kyrie Irving, despite him missing numerous games because of a leave of absence. He was voted in. Bradley Beal, who's having an unbelievable year on a bad team. Kevin Durant, who hasn't played very much due to injuries and COVID protocols. He's the captain. Giannis from the Bucks, and Joel Embiid of the Sixers. That's the starters on the East side of things. So you've got two Nets, a Wizard, a Buck, and a Sixer, and you got a Laker, a Clipper, a Warrior, a Maverick, and a Nugget. Those are the starters, and Luka Doncic and Damian Lillard finished in a tie, but Doncic won based on the tiebreaker, which was based on fan voting. So once again, the skills challenge and three-point contest take place pregame, dunk contest at halftime. In addition, the league announced they will honor Kobe Bryant during the All-Star game by once again incorporating his jersey number 24 into the determination of the final target score. So once again, the All-Star game will be March 7th in Atlanta. All right, see if there's anything else to update you on. I'm looking here to see the headlines. Really, there's nothing new. Anything else you want to add, Dusty, before we let everybody go on this Friday?
Australian Open Championship. Oh, yes. Coming up. Why don't you update tonight people on the women's side as Naomi Osaka takes on Jen Brady, and then Novak Djokovic is into the championship match on Saturday on the men's side, and Medvedev won in straight sets over Tsitsipas early this morning. So Medvedev and Djokovic on the men's side. Osaka Brady on the women's side.
Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Oh. Jennifer Brady.
Brady.
Here's a story. Oh, lovely. Kansas City strength coach Chris Dawson is leaving for Central Florida. That's another note. He joins Gus Malzahn's new staff there after a 12-year run at Kansas State. So K-State will be looking for a new strength coach on their staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that news breaking, I think it was late last night. All right. Go over the schedule again for tonight.
Yes, on KD Country 94, it's St. John's Tipton at Sylvan Lucas. Pre-game coverage at 5:50. Girls game at 6, a voice to follow. And then on Z96.3 and online video at ncksports.com. Bullet Trojans at Minneapolis. Varsity pregame coverage beginning at 5:50 here this evening on Z96.3 and ncksports.com.
All right, Substate Wrestling Reports at 12:30 tomorrow, and we'll give you those throughout the day on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Once again, all the results and links are posted at ncksports.com if you want to follow along again tomorrow. And best of luck to all area wrestlers. and trying to qualify for state. We'll have coverage of state coming up next Saturday from Hayes. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.